I hate following stupid rules that mean absolutely nothing. I hate living at home with parents who do nothing but control you. And most of all, I hate living my life for somebody else. This is how a lot of teenagers feel. And I'm going to tell you a story about a kid named Jacob who was probably around 16 like myself. Jacob's dad was rich. He had money and he had everything, but he did it the right way. And he was a good Christian man, and he wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. And of course, a lot of parents think they're doing good when they try and force it down our throats. They think that's going to help, and they're not trying to force it down, but it comes across that way. Jacob was sick of it. He was sick of being controlled. He was sick of doing what his dad told him to do. He was sick of going to church on Saturday. Nobody goes to church on Saturday. He was sick of coming home at 10 every night instead of midnight like his friends, whatever. And so he decided to ask his dad for his inheritance because half of his father's money was his as soon as his dad died. But his dad wasn't going to die for a while. He was in pretty good shape. So he decided to ask for his inheritance early. And his dad loved him more than anything. His dad would die for him. He'd do anything. And most of all, he wanted his son happy. And if that meant letting his son go, then he was going to be willing to do that. So Jacob came to his dad and told his dad, "I'm sick of everything. I want out." And his dad begged and pleaded him to stay, but Jacob had made up his mind. And his dad asked him one last time, "How bad do you want it? How bad do you want out?" And Jacob said, "Enough. Enough to leave this stupid family." So his dad gave it to him. His dad gave him the nicest car they owned, the fastest car they owned. His dad gave him all the money he wanted, and he left. And his dad prayed as soon as he had let Jacob go and he was driving off, that he knew he had made a mistake, and he prayed for his son to come back home. Life was good for Jacob. He had everything. He had the money, the girls, the cars. Anything he wanted was his because he had money. He had what he thought were friends, but they didn't turn out to be friends in the end. He was living good, you know, casinos every night, you know, sleep until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever he thought was, you know, the best for him. And finally one day he's at the casino with a bunch of his so-called friends that couldn't care less about him, and he goes to get some cash, go play some poker or something, and the teller says there's nothing in his bank account. And he doesn't know what to do. He's never heard that before. And his friends, you know, he turns to his friends all embarrassed and asks if they'll, you know, get his back on this one, you know, to spot him. And of course, they couldn't care less about him. They just want him for his money. So they ditch him. And he's never been like this before because he's always had his father's money. He's always been cared for. He has to find a job. And of course, he's never worked with his hands in his life because he's rich. He doesn't have to. He's got people to do that. And so he's searching for a job, can't find anybody to hire him. And finally, there's an owner of a horse racing outfit, whatever, that is looking for somebody to shovel the horse manure every morning and night. And he hires people, and they stick around for a week, and finally they get sick of it. It's not worth it, and they leave. But Jacob didn't have a choice. He had to stick with it. And so he shoveled horse poop for about a year until finally he couldn't take it anymore. He thought his life wasn't worth anything because nobody cared about him, he thought. He thought he could have disappeared right then and nobody would have even noticed. And all of a sudden, thoughts of home came back into his head. He thought about his dad, about how much his dad loved him, and how even though the rules suck sometimes, and he was sick of them, he knew it was worth it to feel that love again. He had to ask himself, was it worth it? Was it worth it to leave all that just to live the good life that has turned into the bad life? And he didn't think so. And so he stood up and started to walk home. And you all know this is the story of the prodigal son. But I'll finish it anyways, because whatever. So his dad, he prayed that his son would come back home. And every day, he had been out on the porch waiting for him. He had been out on the porch praying to God that his son would come back home. He had radio ads out, TV ads out, newspaper, everything. He was looking for his son, but the son didn't know it. And the son thought, you know, maybe I could be a servant for my dad, because they live pretty good. He treats them pretty well. When he came around the long driveway, of course they were rich, they had a huge long driveway, and when the dad saw him coming around the bend, he ran to meet him. And of course by this time, the dad's not so limber anymore, but he still gets out there and welcomes his son home with open arms. And the son wasn't expecting this. He was expecting hate from his father for all the money, half of his father's wealth that he had wasted, he had thrown away. But instead, his father welcomed him with open arms. You see, it didn't matter what Jacob had done, how much pain he had caused his father, how much agony, how much money he had cost him. It didn't matter. All that Jacob's father cared about was that his son was home again. Okay, usually we think of heaven as a happy place, as a no tears, no pain, no death place. But today it wasn't. Today was different. Heaven was miserable. Jesus was crying. He was weeping for the first time ever. Adam and Eve had just sinned. They had just eaten of the fruit, and everyone knew what had to happen. They had to die. But Jesus wasn't content to just let them die. He wasn't content to just sit there and watch them suffer and have Satan have his way. A plan started to form in his head of how he could save them, how he could come to earth, take all our sins on his back, be killed by the very people he was saving, all for us, all that we could live. He took it to God. He had to get it past God, his Father. And the first time, God was like, I can't let you go. You're my only son. I can't just let you go. I can't let you die. And Jesus came back. His face was stressed out. He was miserable without his most beloved creation. The angels, they saw Jesus miserable. They wanted to do something, but they couldn't. They knew that their lives weren't good enough as a sacrifice. So Jesus went back to God again. He begged that God would let him come and die for us. And again, God said, I can't let you. I can't let you go. Finally, a third time, Jesus went back. He begged, he pleaded with God to let him come and die for us. And God finally agreed. Jesus came back, and all of heaven was rejoicing. The angels, they sang a note higher than had ever been sung before. How much did the angels care about us and Jesus that they would give up their lives willingly? How much was it worth to them? How much did Jesus care that he would come and die for us, not knowing that he would be raised from the dead, not knowing that he would get to be with us? He just wanted us to live. How much was it worth to God? How much was it worth to God to give his only son? Which I'm not sure which is harder, dying or giving your son to die. How much is it worth to him to let his son come here and die for us? They truly love us. And my verse tonight is Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus wants us to be home again, just like Jacob's dad did. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter to him. He just wants you to be back home. The question isn't how much does God love us, how much do we mean to him, how much does he want us to be home. The real question is, how bad do you want it?